You're listening to Makeshift Swahili on PBS FM 106.7. Adrian here behind the mic, and joining me in the studio, Denise and Dave from the Primitive Calculators. We've been playing stuff from that band and late 70s, early 80s, synth punky kind of stuff in the last bracket, and some little bands towards the end, namely the Morpions and the Take just then. The Morpions gave us the track Point Blank, and the Take gave us Summer, from both taken from the Little Bands EP. Whenabouts was that recorded? That was 79 also, I guess.
Yeah, I reckon that was late 79. I think it was about 2 weeks after we did the Calculators single. We went to the studio about 2 weeks afterwards with all our friends that used to come around and practice in our front room in Nicholson Street, use all our equipment. And we decided that we'd make them our support bands, because we were always looking for people, you know, to support us. Not many bands really were that interested.
Right.
And we had all these people that wanted to put together bands. So one of the reasons for the Little Bands was to actually support us without having another band setting up all their equipment and having to do two sound checks. We just used all our equipment all night. It was a matter of ease in a lot of ways.
And part of it was really, at the end of the day, we didn't have enough songs, you know. And, and to do more than about, you know, probably 40 minutes at the top without sort of resorting to things like being a covers band, you know. So there was an economic sort of reality that we needed to fill up this space in order to be able to play. Otherwise, pubs wouldn't have you. You couldn't rock up to a pub and play for half an hour, you know. You needed to fill the evening with things.
But we were also very happy for people to come around to our place, use our equipment, and do that on stage as well.
Yep. So, and this is, I guess, the main concept behind the Little Bands thing is that I guess anyone can sort of rock up.
Originally we thought it should be disposable bands, like you play once, like thrash. You played once and then you just went on to another band. You didn't actually do it more than once or twice.
Sort of formed on the night kind of thing?
No. We practiced.
Yeah.
We practiced. but it was more like, you know, just get another band together afterwards.
It was
disposable bands.
Yeah, but they'd have like three songs or something like that.
Yeah, it was sort of fun, and you would do things that you wouldn't normally do, like maybe sing if you didn't sing.
Yeah, I played bass on Thrush and sang on Ronnie and the Rhythm Boys, and so you could just sort of be a jack of all trades, just do different things in different bands, which you couldn't do if you were just had one band where you had the traditional thing that you always did.
Yeah.
But I think the very first one, and we're probably a bit of the sort of idea came from, is that one day Marcus was going off to do something before the Boys Next Door, because he was good friends of theirs, and so he was going to do something, I think, with Mari Hoy, some little performance sort of piece, and Stuart had gone along with his guitar and to join in with that as well and do that. And that's what I remember as being what I called the very first ever little bands, you know.
Right.
And then from that, we needed to fill up our space in our live sets, and it sort of rolled from there. And like Denise was saying, it was a spontaneous little thing. You did a few songs, you tossed them away, and you went on to the next one. But
the really nice thing is, once we sort of had it happening a few times, people that we didn't know would just suddenly turn up at the gig and say, could we play? And they would just play one or two songs, people we had no idea who they were.
Do you think it took off because the idea was so strong?
Well, it sort of had a little life of its own once I left in 1980. Stuart and I went overseas, and it continued on for another year.
It became sort of Mark II, and it got taken over by Mick Earls and Arnie from Use No Hooks, and probably Alan had a lot to do with it, and these other people which we'd met, which were a little bit younger than us, but came from Dufton, and they used to come and see us in Nicholson Street. Jim Buck and his sister and his brother. And they really, I call it Mark II, Little Bands Mark II, and they took it from there, and it was
They had little band nights rather than just supporting other bands. They had whole nights of little bands.
Yeah, we had really good parties, and I used to go to them occasionally, playing bands with various other people.
But the whole format was that you didn't have bands coming in, setting up, doing a sound check, going off. You just had everyone using the same equipment.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it became this vehicle to launch people's careers. And that's what sort of happened. People would come, you know, really well prepared, really well rehearsed, and would want to turn up all the time and keep doing it to get the practice. And right. They were using it as exposure to move on to. And the music, well, the music shifted out of people who couldn't play to people who are a little bit more competent and had a little bit more ambition, you know.
Mm.
A lot of people just fulfilled their great dream of being in a band and never wanted to ever do it again, you know.
Yeah.
It's their 5 minute of fame rather than 15.
Can you tell us a little bit about the two bands we heard from, the Morpions and The Take? We didn't already talk about that, did we?
No.
We didn't.
The Take was Marissa, Frank from The Calculators and Stuart.
Tom Hoy.
Tom Hoy. Yep. And that was a song that Frank wrote for Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
Marissa was also in Thrush.
There's been Thrush in the Cunts.
Yes, are you allowed to say that?
Who we won't probably, I'm not sure whether we'll play a track from because the only track I have is off Dogs in Space, which has been censored.
No, don't
so
play
there's
the
no vocals.
I will give you a copy of the R-rated one to play. At a future date, because
be
you really
fantastic.
Need the words.
Yeah.
But there's a lovely guitar playing from Arnie Hannah on that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, the Dogs in Space soundtrack of Thrush is actually quite different because they actually use Dave and Arnie rather than girl musicians, so it would sound better.
Right.
Because I wanted, because it was going on a record and in a movie, I really wanted it to sound as good as it could because it was much later on.
And I think Ollie plays a little piano sort of...
That was completely different. But there is live versions of Thrush, which are truly awful, but are different.
At this point, I think I should probably mention there's a few websites out there that have, archives of live material, recorded material that never saw the light of day and whatnot, and you can usually... get copies of for a swap. Inner City Sounds One. I forget the names of the rest of them. No Night Sweats in Sydney as well. Mostly Sydney bands on his recordings, I think. And yeah, I think there's a few Melbourne little bands sort of recorded there, archived there. But I sort of haven't got around to investigating and sort of getting stuff to play on the show via that avenue yet, but certainly worth a look.
Well, we weren't very together today. We didn't bring any stuff in, so
well,
sorry.
I could have asked. And on that Inner City Sound note as well, that name, as some listeners may be aware, comes from a book that I guess documented, or at least attempted to document, the scene from the late 70s, early 80s, Clinton Walker being the main guy behind that one, I think, along with one or two other folks. It's kind of interesting, the whole birthday party story, mostly news clippings and that kind of thing, and is apparently being repressed this year on Verse Chorus Press. So some interesting historical look at things back there. Not quite that much on little bands.
I think he
even
said there might be a CD coming out with that, but I could be wrong because I never heard back from him. So
okay. It'd be very interesting.
But when you look at stuff like that, you see the success of the birthday party in Nick Cave, and even from that point, the whole thing is sort of slanted towards him. You know, it really neglects a lot of other people, and really, Clinton was a very, you know,
as were many other people, big fans.
And when you look back on it, it sort of it really eliminates a lot of other people. And
I guess Melbourne was pretty much in their thrall for another 10 years, really, as far as, you know, bands and sounds that I know became popular or whatnot. So I should mention back in that set we heard a few other tunes. We started off with a track from the Primitive Calculators, 7-inch, which was released on a Dutch label called, is it Mew? Or
Mew Music. Yeah. Yeah.
Glitter Kids. What's the other track on that one? Oh, two other tracks.
Signals
on
that one. And Stains. He, the guy from Mew Music, contacted us through Guy after the Can't Stop It CD came out, and said, "Can I put out a single?" So I said, "Yeah, sure."
Yep.
Okay. So we sent him some stuff, and he sent us some singles back.
good stuff too. Yeah, fantastic. And they were live recordings as well, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. He put that in 2003.
Live from the Champion Hotel, which was a wonderful institution of culture in Melbourne for many years.
Indeed. You may or may not be able to find that to buy on the internet, various sites.
Well, they pressed 400 singles.
Yeah, so probably sold out a lot of places, but, you know, give it a go. It's worth your while. We followed that with a track from LA sort of synth punk band. I guess most people call them synth punk. The Screamers, who were apparently very, very popular at the time, more popular than many of the other bands like the Germs and whatnot that you are far more famous these days, but never managed to get any official releases out, apparently. But you do see a few semi-bootleg CDs in record shops, even around in Melbourne, so worth investigating if you like the sounds of what you heard. The track we heard from them was The Beat Goes On, and I took that from their double CD collection of live recordings, In a Better World. And then we heard the Primitive Calculators with their version of that song, The Beat Goes On, of course taken from the recently reissued live CD on Chapter Music. And then on the Sonny and Cher, I decided to play a track from another band. I think they're from LA, might have been San Fran, I'm not sure. Nervous Gender, who gave us a track called Monsters. And I guess you can imagine what that's a kind of cover or tribute to. Yeah, it does seem to be quite a lot of that sort of synthy punk stuff happening around the world. We might hear a Whirly World track in just a moment. They were another band who were pretty important to the little bands thing. And along with you guys, were a proper band who played lots of gigs, I guess. Is that?
Yeah, they lived next door to us in Nicholson Street. They moved into the shop front next door. So they used to practice in their shop front and we used to practice in ours, and little bands sort of would, you know, practice in ours and they'd come over. And
that's how we got to know Arnie Hannah.
Cross-pollinate.
Yep. Who ended up being in the Bum Steers.
When you so he was playing guitar with
with
that
Dolly
version of
Whirly
World at the time in the late late 79.
Yeah.
Arnie joined them.
Yeah. Who are we talking? Was the lineup of? I know it changed a fair bit.
The late lineup was Arnie and Greg Sun on bass, Arnie on guitar, John Murphy, and
the Murph.
Ollie. I don't know what version you're.
And I can't remember if those guys, Dean and
that was
Dean
the
Richards,
version.
And sort of.
I think the track I'm about to play is from
this is November,
12-inch.
December 79, so it would be Arnie and Greg Sun.
It's before the more commonly available Whirly World complete studio works, and I'm not sure. I think the versions would be pretty much the same, but I'm not sure. Anyway, let's see a track from Whirly World.